The following is a paid program brought to you by My Philly Lawyer. The views and opinions expressed are those of the sponsor and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station and its management.
Good morning. Court Radio is now in session. Call 215-227-2727. When you've got legal questions, we've got the answers. This is Court Radio. And now here's your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning and welcome to Court Radio. I'm Dean Weitzman, joined in the studio with my co-host, the guy who's always by my side on Sunday mornings, the one, the only, David M. Rappaport.
Hey, good morning. What's up, Dean? It's going to be warm today, unseasonably warm, as they say.
I'm taking a motorcycle ride this morning.
84 degrees, I think.
I'm getting on the Harley.
Are you?
Yes, sir.
This may be the last time we hear from Dean Weitzman.
If you see,
now, hopefully, that's
if you see
that's
me
a bad
riding
omen
through your neighborhood, just give a wave. That'll be me.
Yeah.
Oh, my big Harley. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. It's actually a fast Harley and a V
not
rod.
Not so big.
It's a V rod. That's the Harley they made, the Porsche made in conjunction with Harley.
Mm, nice.
Yeah. Folks, if you're listening to David now, you got your legal questions from last week or 2 weeks ago that you didn't get answered and you want it answered today, give us a call at 215-227-2727. Usually one of the first in gets their questions answered. 215-227-2727. The number, the only number you need for legal advice in Philly. 24/7. So, David, there's
yes, sir,
whole lot going on. Let's blow through a couple of these. First of all,
Eagles,
okay,
today.
Sure.
You got to mention that.
They're
right?
Playing San Francisco. What do you think? Are they going to win?
Well, the Eagles are on a roll. The second highest scoring team right now in the NFL. Of course they're going to win.
I don't know. 3-0, I'm kind of thinking they're due for a loss and going all the way out to the West Coast.
Yeah,
and
even if they get a loss, I think, you know, this team is looking good, as opposed to baseball and the start of the playoffs is
coming.
Do we
have a baseball team?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know if that you can consider them a team at this point. But
no, they need to be rebuilt and reconstructed.
Ouch. Yeah.
In the vision of Dean Weitzman. 215-227-2727. What else is going on? Eric Holder. It's sad, actually. But, you know, why is it always that the Attorney General, after 6 years, kicks off and goes on to doing something else? They get scared in the last 2 years.
Well, he's got a lot of flack, and it's a high-pressure job.
Yeah.
And it's an easy job to sort of, you don't think, I mean, really, let's be realistic. You don't think this is all his decision alone. Everyone gets together, they talk about it, and it's a good way to sort of say,
what's
everything's
that? Leaving or the decisions he makes?
Leaving. No, I'm talking about leaving.
Oh,
it's sort of a good way to sort of clean slate and put it on the one person. You know, he doesn't kind of mind doing it.
Yeah.
It's kind of part of the job, and you just say, see you later, and it wipes the slate clean a lot for the president and the administration.
Yeah.
And
well,
they get someone else.
I think Eric did a wonderful job.
I don't know. Yeah,
one of the most liberal attorney generals that the United States has ever had. And
which is a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this hard-on crime thing.
Yeah,
you know?
The martial state and all that kind of stuff doesn't come on. Yeah.
All it did was make us have the highest prison population in the free world, but it didn't make us any safer. You know, if we focused on the hardened criminals, the vicious criminals, and left the drug addicts alone, you know, gave them some treatment instead of some jail time, boy, would we be a better country.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, because I was just going to make a quick comment that, you know, all those points really make sense, Dean, but it seems like everyone else is just worried about Lattegate. You heard about that, didn't you?
No.
The president's salute when he was holding a coffee cup when he came off of Air Force One, and he saluted with a coffee cup in his hand.
Horrible.
And this is all people care about.
Oh, yeah.
As if it makes a big... I don't even want to get into it. It's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Crazy. If anyone cares about that, I would welcome to hear your comments on Lattegate.
The Senate passes the Philadelphia cigarette tax.
Nice.
Yeah. We're getting a $2 cigarette tax in Philly. If you're still smoking, fool, you better get commits or some you know, Nicorettes or something.
How much are cigarettes now? $20 a pack or something? I mean, really?
I don't know. I got, what do I have now? I have 12 blissful cigaretteless years. I was a pack-a-day cool smoker. And,
you need a second job for that.
Yeah, I walked away from it 12 years ago, one day at a time. You can do it. Stop smoking. 215-227-2727. The politicians want you to smoke more because they need those tax dollars. You're going to be paying for the Commonwealth's.
I was going to say, where's that money going? Do we know? Schools.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
All schools. Right. I hope it goes to schools.
And completely.
Our mystery guest just said schools, and you'll find out he's in the know.
Yeah,
so
and utterly to the schools.
Yeah.
And so the governor is supposed to sign it.
Well, I like that. I approve.
It's signed. It was signed. Yeah.
Nice.
All right.
Our mystery guest is giving signs.
Bring him on already.
Who is
he? He can't stand keeping his mouth shut. Jordan Harris, state representative.
There he is.
To the stars.
Good morning.
This guy has some really famous people in his district. I did a drive by through Jordan's district.
A drive by. What is that? With an Uzi or what? Drive by.
Whoa.
That means something different. In his district,
All right.
In his district, that means something a little different.
All right. Jordan and I drove around his district because I was looking and still am for another. I might. Hey, listen, we'll get to the houses, and he's got million-dollar homes in his district. But besides that, I'm looking for another spot for my Philly lawyer. So we were looking for another neighborhood office, and the next one's going to be in Jordan's district. And so Jordan and I went around looking at where.
There goes the neighborhood.
Wait, whoa. Bringing quality businesses
all right.
To the district.
I'm just kidding.
There it is.
Yeah, we had fun that day, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
All right. So Jordan's here today to tell us all that's going on in legislation in Pennsylvania right now. Tell us about the cigarette tax. It was a senatorial vote.
So what happened? So this has been going on for kind of like a ping pong back and forth. Before we broke for the summer, the House passed a version of House Bill 1177, which was the vehicle used for the cigarette tax. We sent it over to the Senate. The Senate made some amendments, which means that we would have had to concur in those amendments. We did not go back into session in August like we had planned to do that. So
relax and chilling, huh?
Yeah.
Kicking back, you know.
I was ready to go
not
back.
Not looking to drive back up the expressway.
I was ready to go back. Some of my other colleagues weren't. So when we got back in September, the House passed a clean bill with just a cigarette tax in it. Nothing else in there. Sent that over to the Senate. The Senate, this was on Monday or Tuesday. The Senate passed it. And on Wednesday, I believe it was, I was there as the governor signed the cigarette tax.
So right now it's the law. When does it go into effect?
It should be in effect within like the next week or two.
Okay. So cats going out to go get cigarettes in a couple weeks are going to be faced with an additional. I don't know how much a pack of cigarettes costs. Maybe one of our listeners can call in. 215-227-2727. Give us a call. Tell us how much a pack of cigarettes is. But, you know, if it's like $8, now it's $10 a pack.
Yeah, if it's $8, yeah. It's a
$2. And so that $2 is going where?
That $2 goes directly to the school district of Philadelphia.
Thank God. Finally.
Yeah.
Finally something.
Well,
to the school district.
The school district estimates that's going to be probably an additional $80 million.
Wow.
That's a lot. We extended the sales tax again, which brings in around $110, $120 million. So the goal is to have reoccurring sources of income directly to the school district of Philadelphia that has nothing to do with the state or local government.
So they don't have to deal with back and the crises of the budget every year.
Right. So this year alone, I think the number is $170, $180 million dollars of recurring revenue. Now, it's still not enough.
Right.
Still not enough.
Yeah.
but it does help along the way. So the superintendent said that there shouldn't be any more massive layoffs at the school district because of cigarette taxes passed. So while I do want people to stop smoking for health benefits,
for money
if
reasons,
you can't stop,
at least you pay.
That's okay too.
For the schools,
for the
maybe
for the
you should, somebody should keep smoking.
I don't know for the kids.
Or just buy them and throw them out. You know, it doesn't matter,
support.
Right? How about
so
that?
However you want to support.
Yeah.
Support.
Right.
So we're going to get into talking about some of the legislation that you're involved in. And you've been on the show before. We talked about some of that legislation. We want to see where it's going. But before we do, David and I have a couple news stories to hit, and then we'll take a quick break. We have, David.
Yes,
there's the big furor over the
furor.
Yes.
Fervor. Yeah.
Okay.
Furor is something different.
Totally.
In our world. Yeah. Right. All right. Go ahead.
Yeah. He had a little mustache. The fervor over the fervor over the hate crime or what's being portrayed as a hate crime. Gay bashing crime.
I think it was a hate crime.
Yeah.
It's pretty obvious. Yeah.
Was it? I don't know much about the facts of the case.
Yes.
Tell me.
Well, the facts that I know is that a group of young persons beat up two gay males, and the talk before the beating up was about, you know, them being gay.
I see.
So it was, you know, a hate crime. And
you know, there is no crime.
No, they're in Pennsylvania.
In Pennsylvania, there's no crime for sexual orientation.
Correct.
So that's it can't even be classified as a hate crime because it's not one of the things that we look for.
That's what the media placed on it, based upon, you know, the moniker that we all know and across the country. But
We're working on it.
But here, it's just assault, you know, and regular criminal activity. It's not its own crime. You're right. But still, it's a heinous act. And more disturbing was that one of the young people, this Catherine Knott, is the daughter of a police chief in Chalfont.
Your neighborhood.
Which is near where I live, yeah.
Yeah.
And even more disturbing was they were able to, she was tweeting after the incident, before and after, these just horrible tweets, which further escalated the hate aspect of it, because it was she used derogatory terms for gay people, and just they showed tweets that she was with her friends just making these stupid remarks.
The amazing thing there's the obvious hate crime aspect to it, but the thing that really caught my attention was the fact that social media plays such a big role in both the investigation and apprehension of criminals these days.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, we are not anonymous.
And there's video.
I had a client who wrote some nasty thing about a board, okay? And some of it may not have been completely true.
Right.
You
mean a board, like a group,
a condo
a committee.
Board.
Okay.
And they sued him. They found him and sued him. And it's like, if you put something out there, whether you put your name or some other name, there's IP addresses. They can track you down with any tweet at all on your phones. This is Big Brother America has the tools to catch you no matter
what. Here's what you're going to find out in this case, obviously. 90% of the tweets were related to alcohol. You know, every tweet
under the influence.
Every tweet, like every tweet you read that she had was sort of, you know, hey, just had more, you know, hey, I'm drunk now, can't wait to get together and drink this, and obviously they're claiming they were all drunk.
That woman has a very deep, gravelly voice.
I can't wait to drink this. And so they're gonna. I think my prediction as a lawyer is that you're gonna start seeing, you know, not that it's gonna condone the activity, but they were all drunk. So it wasn't a purposeful act. They were under the influence. They were, you know.
It was purposeful. You don't get
a free pass for being drunk. I agree.
But it does come back to Dean's philosophy in life that, like, most of the bad acts that we do as humans occur as a result of drugs and alcohol.
Under the influence,
If we put the right amount of money towards the treatment of drugs and alcohol, America would be saved.
Right.
It would be safe.
More than America.
215-227-2727. Let's hear from some of our callers.
Okay.
How about Vincent from Mount Airy on the cigarette tax? Hello, Vincent. Oh, Vincent.
Yep.
You're on the air.
Hello? Oh, yes. You got the wrong name. It's Anthony Tyler.
Oh, we have okay. Anthony. Hey, how are you, Anthony?
Good.
Yes, how you doing?
Good.
I just want to make this short and sweet. I'm driving on my way to work. I just had a comment to make on the cigarette tax.
Yep.
I just found it very hypocritical from the mayor to put a tax on cigarettes, because in the past he banned cigarette smoking from restaurants, bar, and et cetera. And I just find it very hypocritical that if nobody decides to buy cigarettes because of this tax, would it be a public plea, please buy cigarettes because we need the money for the food?
Would
I'm just hypocritical.
Okay.
Okay. Well, it seems to
I think it's actually
the opposite of hypocritical.
Yeah, I think so.
I think this mayor has it in for cigarette smokers. Not in, but I mean he's intolerant of cigarette smokers to a large degree, and he wants to make sure that you pay your fair share. Not you. I don't know if you smoke, Anthony, but you know that cigarette smokers are a drain on the economy from a health standpoint.
Well, this is how you get a tax passed. Nobody minds taxing it. In other words, you know, you can imagine in Harrisburg the fighting about increasing or making a tax on anything, right?
Right.
Any political thing.
But not
it's
cigarettes.
The death knell. But,
right.
But both sides of the aisle can come together and agree that we can tax cigarettes because it's what it is and people don't like cigarettes.
Anthony, thanks for your call. Have a great Sunday. Let's talk to Donna, line 3 from West Oak Lane, who's got a question or comment about the cigarette tax.
I kind of had a comment on the cigarette tax as it pertained to the schools and the potential of borrowing money in advance to allow the teachers who were already laid off to come back to work and be able to restore the jobs. Now, I heard the young man say that nobody else will be laid off at this point, but there are classrooms that's over the 30 heads per classroom. There are classrooms that have more children than enough with only one teacher in the classroom. No assistant, no help, no nothing. And so
what's your question?
Going to allow the city of Philadelphia to borrow money in advance with the expectation of getting money from the cigarette tax, bringing those teachers back into the classroom?
All right, Donna, thanks for your question. We're going to try to answer it.
So I don't believe that the particularly from the state level that there is a desire to borrow money. I do think I read somewhere that city council was talking about something, but from a state level, there is no desire to borrow money. I know the governor advanced $260-something million to the school district so that some of the bills could be paid on the front end. And from what we're seeing, the money, when it's collected from the cigarette tax, should help on the back end when the money that was front loaded won't be there at the end of the year. So from the superintendent, from the SRC chair, they're not looking to have any more layoffs with this additional revenue that will be coming in. So again, this is not the finish line. This is not the opportunity to pat people on the back and say great job, because there's still a whole lot more work that needs to be done with regards to how we fund the larger school district in the Commonwealth.
Yeah, this is like a Band-Aid on a mortal wound.
Yes.
You know?
we need
the school district
surgery.
Is bleeding out.
Yes.
And you guys got a nice big old Band-Aid that'll hold for a little while, but the time is still ticking.
Well, education has to be a priority to the person on the second floor of the Capitol.
Yeah.
That's where the governor's office is.
Listen, education, you know, all you got to do is look overseas. We're a global economy, and you look over to the Asian countries, Japan and China. They're, you know, billion people, and they're putting their kids through school, and they're teaching, and they're making sure that they know what they need to know, and they're the ones getting the jobs, you know? I mean, and so if we want our society to continue, we need to educate our children. We need to demand from them hard work, but we need to give them the tools they need to accomplish it. And we have not done that in any time in the recent past. But
absolutely. I agree.
All right. Let's talk to George, Center City, who's got a question about a cigarette tax or comment. Hey, George, welcome to Court Radio.
I'd like to ask a question. Is that, you know, it's funny that our legislators They really pat themselves on the back every time they come up with a way of taxing you. They come up with the cigarette tax. They come up with the fee tax. They all go to Harrisburg, but they never come back with anything other than getting in to gouge your pockets. The second thing is, Dean, is that how is it that the Philadelphia school system had already borrowed money on the schools? They had they took out a bond or whatever it was, remortgaged the properties that they sold. Now, unless there's some legal part that we don't know about, and Harrisburg okayed this garbage. They sold the empty schools. It was a mortgage on them. Now they get the cigarette tax. They're selling off the schools. How do you sell something off unless the mortgage is paid? Now, they can't sell those schools until that debt is paid, and then they come and tell us about a cigarette tax. The mayor's probably mad because it don't go right to the budget, you know, to the
general budget
fund. I mean, every time they come, and next year they're gonna come with some more garbage about filling, you know, the thing of the schools. Then they're gonna come up with another tax. Is there another way that you can find a way to fund the schools other than keep taxing people and coming up with fees? Because y'all pat yourself on the back, but we're gonna remember this when y'all run about tax, tax, tax. You never come up with anything but a tax.
Okay. All right.
So I guess the first thing I would say is that I just said.
Yeah, he did.
Nobody's patting themselves, you know, from my perspective, nobody should be patting themselves on the back for this one, because this is really just, you know, an opportunity to kind of stop the bleeding at the school district. What I would say is that the way the climate is in Harrisburg, and I just got to be quite honest with you, you know, people do not support Philadelphia. Across the Commonwealth, I mean, there is this disdain against Philadelphia, and I will say that the school district over the last couple of years have done a good job of trying to change the mentality of people in Harrisburg where it comes to how they see the school district of Philadelphia. But you know, we need several things. One, we need a fair funding formula. So what does that mean? We need a way that we allocate money from the Department of Education when it comes through the state budget that really looks at the needs of the students first, the needs of the district, and takes into account some other factors, and not this kind of willy-nilly, you get this, you get this, you get this. You need to look at the levels of the students and understand that it's going to take more money to move students who are at a lower a level than students who aren't. And here's the thing. A lot of people don't necessarily want to hear that throughout the state, because that means that their school districts might get less because their students are doing better. But the reality is, that's how you fix public education. You fund based off of what the students' needs are and not what the adults' needs are.
Here's the other thing I love about the one of the comments the caller made is, you know, we're going to remember this during voting time. Really? Because you voted in the current administration without any concern over what they stood for, and they actually openly stand for things that you're now complaining about. But where were you? Where was the community then? You voted these guys right in. There he goes, Corbett, right in there to sit on the high stool and to feign anything towards education and put everything towards big business and fracking and all that other nonsense. I mean, really. Right.
Well, with that vicious comment, David, we're taking a break.
I can say it, our guest.
We'll be back, folks. We got Jordan Harris in the studio. We're asking questions about the legislation coming up, and we're taking your legal questions. All you got to do is give us a call at 215-227-2727, 215-227-2727. We'll be right back.
If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.
Are you in a financial legal squeeze? Unable to work because of an accident? With your legal case still not settled? Lawsuit Funding Solutions can help you pay the bills while you wait. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 877-697-7352. It can take time for a lawsuit to settle. Lawsuit Funding Solutions is here to help you get back on track. And you won't owe them a thing if your case doesn't settle or you don't receive a judgment. Get out of the squeeze today. Call 877-697-7352.
If you have legal problems and need answers, call My Philly Lawyer, Dean Weitzman, first at 215-227-2727. For personal injury, medical malpractice, birth injury, and more, call Dean first.
He will fight for your rights. That's what Dean Weitzman is all about.
Call My Philly Lawyer, Dean Weitzman, first. 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. It's a legal and financial squeeze. You're unable to work because of an accident, but your legal case is still not settled, so you can't pay the bills to take care of your family. But now, thanks to U.S. Claims, you can. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 1-877-US-CLAIMS. While you're waiting for your settlement, U.S. Claims can help you pay the bills. Get out of the squeeze. Call 1-877-US-CLAIMS today.
The following is a paid program brought to you by My Philly Lawyer. The views and opinions expressed are those of the sponsor and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station and its management.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning and welcome back to Court Radio. I'm Dean Weitzman and this is Court Radio, where we answer your legal questions. All you got to do is give us a call, 215-227-2727. That's right. That's the number for all your legal needs in Philly. Hey, My Philly Lawyer now is doing domestic relations in addition to our normal bailiwick, which is personal injury and medical malpractice. Well, now we have a team of attorneys who are doing domestic relations litigation. So if you've got child support, child custody, divorce, we're handling it all out of our Northeast office. Right now on Bustleton Avenue, the second giant My Philly Lawyer office to open, and more are coming to your neighborhood. 215-227-2727. Well, I'll tell you, people are fired up on this cigarette tax.
Really.
Let's talk to Kim, Mount Airy especially. There must be a lot of smokers in Mount Airy. Hey, Kim, welcome to Court Radio.
Yeah, I could smell the smoke all the way out here, but you know what? I'm so glad you're raising this point. Taxation without representation, okay? And e-cigarettes seem like more profitable, but they were too dumb to put that in there. And three, the question to you is, when you take a group like this, isn't that called adverse selection?
Adverse selection?
What do you mean by that?
Yeah, what is that? Explain what that is.
Meaning that you're picking on a small group of people to fund their tax, but nobody even has to buy cigarettes in Philadelphia.
Oh yeah, I guess you know
what
happens.
Yeah, you go over
is,
to Jersey and buy.
No,
them.
You can go.
Well,
you
no,
can go to
Jersey
Abington.
Go out the county.
Oh, right in the county. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
you're right.
I mean, you know, they act like people are really dumb. But is adverse selection when you pick a small group and you make them weigh? I mean, what about the rest of the Philadelphians? They don't need to be helping the school district.
Well, this as I said, group? But just speaking personally for me, and I don't think I'm off base here. Any, as you know, in any political climate. And you heard that one caller about tax, raising any taxes on everyone. People don't like to pay taxes, yet they want all of the roads fixed and everything done for them. So this is a way to get it passed with opposition from all the political parties. Everyone's in agreement on this just because it's an adverse group of people. You know, there's no opposition from the politicians. If you wanted to tax everyone, you'd get opposition, and it would be very difficult to pass a bill. I mean, am I kind of
well? So here's what I say. You know, in the midst of all of this right now, if there wasn't a cigarette tax, the school district still needs money. What are other suggestions? What are other realistic suggestions that I think a Democratic city like Philadelphia could get passed with a Republican House, a Republican Senate,
right,
and a Republican in the governor's mansion, who, quite honestly, in my opinion, has already shown, you know, through their actions that the Philadelphia school district is not a priority. I mean, listen, I tell people all the time, you judge a person by their budget. This governor's first budget clearly cut money to the tune of almost $1 billion in public education. That's what we're dealing with, you know. So I ask folks all the time, what would?
Well, I'll tell you what I would vote for Tom Wolf.
Right,
you know, that's what I would do.
You got to vote him out.
Yeah,
that's what I said.
That's a prescription for a one and done. That's what it
that's
is.
That's right,
so, one and done.
But Dane, so here's caller, to your point, I think what I would love to see is all of the frustration that people have. I would like to see that frustration on November 4th.
Right.
Because in Philadelphia County, if Philadelphia County votes, we can control where the election goes just by sheer numbers.
Yeah.
If Philadelphia County
votes. That's exactly right.
4 years ago in 2010, we did not show up at the polls. We were excited in 2008 when we voted in President Obama, and then we took a break in 2010. We took a break in Philadelphia County. We got this governor, and now you see what we have. So folks need to show up at the polls on November 4th and let their voice be heard.
It'll be a crying shame if this guy gets reelected. 215-227-2727. Thanks for giving us a call, Kim, and have a great Sunday. Okay, let's talk to – we got a bunch of calls for you, Representative Harris.
I'm here. Let's talk.
And you know what? I have no idea what they are, but let's start with Dina from Nicetown. Is it Dina? Dina? Hello.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Good morning.
You got a question for Representative Harris?
Yes.
How are you?
Good morning. In the city of Philadelphia, the city high schools, my son just graduated this year. And in the city of Philadelphia, I was wondering if you are aware that if students wear hoodies to school, there's a $5 charge posed each occurrence. And if they come to school without their ID, they pay $1.
To who? To who?
To the school.
To the school general
really?
Fund. Yeah. Yeah. It's a little taxation.
Now,
there's a taxation.
Yeah. Taxation on kids.
Yeah, right.
Because
pretzel
my
day.
My son alone, and it's not for wearing a hoodie all day. We all know kids don't wear coats anymore. Hoodies are their coats.
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
This Wait, is just this, for showing here, up at the school
on.
And walking through the door, going to
the
locker with
Dina,
a hoodie on.
Dina, I have a question. Because I just want a clarification. Is it wearing a hoodie or wearing the hood of a hoodie? In other words, if I'm wearing a hoodie, but my hood is down, is that something that they would get taxed on?
Having on a hoodie, period.
Having on a hoodie,
as your coat.
As your coat. That's kind of crazy.
My son had a $584 balance from 9th grade to 12th grade.
What?
Wow.
I didn't get the first bill until 11th grade, and he couldn't graduate until that fund was paid.
I guess he didn't care about getting these. He just kept wearing that hood. He loved that hoodie.
Deanna?
He had a hoodie on
Dina.
Coat,
yeah.
Anyway it went.
So Dina, I just got to be quite honest with you. I don't know what that is about.
I've never heard.
Well, no, I take that back. I have heard of schools, you know, just so that students have their IDs because they want to make sure they can identify students, charging $1 and stuff like that. Small tchotchke kind of things. But I'm sorry. The whole $5 for a hoodie.
And a hoodie? No one could have sanctioned that.
But not only that, but for you to get a bill for $5.
Yeah.
Like that, you know, I think that's ridiculous. I would definitely be calling the school district. I mean, that's not something necessarily that.
That can't be on the record.
I mean, right. Something. So I would definitely be calling. And actually, I mean, for me as a legislator, I do think that's something worth looking into.
All right, Dina, thanks for calling Court Radio and voicing your opinion. Let's talk to Sherman from North Philly, Line 5. Hey, Sherman, welcome to Court Radio. What do you got to say for Representative Harris?
Good morning, Representative Harris.
How are you, sir?
All right. I wanted to say that I don't really have a problem with the cigarette tax as it applies to the school district.
Mm-hmm. Do you smoke?
Philadelphia.
Do you smoke?
And actually, I smoke, but I won't be smoking.
God bless you.
What about the kids?
The problem I have is, okay, it's great to fund the schools, right? But is this money going to increase or improve the quality of education that our students are getting?
Bam. Because see, now you're talking. I'm going to pay money, but I want to see results.
Well, but you know, this is a Band-Aid, remember?
Yeah, I want to see results. I want to see teachers working longer, harder hours. I want to see I want to see their grades getting better. I want to see Einsteins. I want to see people that, you know, we could put up against foreigners and say, hey, our students are better and smarter than your students.
It ain't going to happen with this one.
Exactly. See, the reason why I bring this up is because my daughter got accepted at the Cultural Academy in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, because of seating capacity, she wasn't allowed to go this semester. Subsequently, I had to transfer her over to Bartram High School. And
that's where I graduated.
In the ninth grade. And
They produced Jordan Harris.
I graduated from Bartram, just for the record. Put that out there, baby.
Go ahead.
The second day she came home from school, she was complaining that the math work and whatnot that they were giving her, right, was actually work that she had did in the seventh grade.
Mm.
And I had a serious problem with that. I went up to the school and I addressed that with the principal up there, and he was saying, well, you know, we're trying to accommodate the students in that class that aren't quite ahead like that. I said, yeah, but you know, it's affecting my daughter because now it can, in some ways, cause her to become complacent.
I got you. So here's the thing. Hey, let me give you a real answer. I think folks who know me know I try not to do the political answer. No, this money will not help improve the quality of education in the district. That's just my personal opinion. And that's my personal opinion, not just as a legislator, but as a former school teacher myself. This money is not going to necessarily, you know, our kids are not going to have a greater education. I think if you even look at some of the comments that the superintendent has said, that this money is used to really basically just stop the hemorrhaging that we have at the School District of Philadelphia. But here's the thing. For me, it's several things. It's not just money. We need more money in the School District of Philadelphia, but we also need other real reforms. There are a lot of things that go on in the district that is supported by contracts, that's supported by state law, that actually perpetuates the status quo. And what we need real reforms, but we need leadership in a state where not just the school, because here's the thing, this is really just not even a School District of Philadelphia issue. If you go out to the Chester Upland School District, they're struggling. If you look at Harrisburg, they're struggling. If you look at places over in Allegheny County and Pittsburgh, they're struggling. Most cities most poor urban cities and poor rural districts are struggling because of the cuts that have come from Harrisburg. So when you talk about the quality of education, yes, number one, there is funding. But then again, I'll say the fair funding formula. We have to adequately fund schools. And what does that really mean? That means that there may be a school district that gets more money than the one right next door to it because that school district needs that money. It has to be a shared responsibility. And people have to understand that what happens in Philadelphia County affects Montgomery County, Bucks, Berks. It affects Tioga, Lawrence, Armstrong County, Pike County, and all over. So when you look at places across the Commonwealth that sell agriculture, well, who's going to buy your food 10 years, 20 years from now when all of the kids in Philadelphia are adults and they can't afford to buy anything because they can't become gainfully employed because we gave them a crappy education? That's the kind of foresight that we have to get our folks across the state to understand so that their legislators understand that as Philadelphia goes, so does the entire state of Pennsylvania.
215-227-2727. Great answer.
Yeah.
But Jordan, where's the money coming from? Is the general fund of the Commonwealth growing because we saved $1 billion, or is that being used in other ways that we are now going to have to grab that cash from somewhere else? Only so many dollars.
So here's the thing. The $1 billion, and the governor will say this, and we have to be honest, a lot of that money was stimulus dollars that came to hold over municipalities and state governments from the Obama administration because we were in a recession. Now, that is true. But what also happened during that same time is that our governor decided to implement a lot of tax credits for businesses. And And as a business owner, I understand that we need tax credits. But here's the problem. We have not seen the growth that the tax credits were supposed to provide for the Commonwealth. So I asked a simple question in one of my committee hearings, because I'm on a finance committee. Do we get that money back?
No.
So, you know, we're talking about to the tune, I think the number was around $600, $650 million worth of tax credits that went out the window that was supposed to help job creation. Those jobs weren't created. And so you'll hear folks walk around touting this number. Oh, we created 100,000 private sector jobs or 50,000. Yeah, you'll say that but on the other end, because of all of the other cuts, you lost 27,000 school teachers and you lost this and you lost that.
It's that same model, so, like federally, right, with so the it, taxing it is going to create jobs.
It
right.
doesn't work. So you do these tax
you mean
credits.
The trickle down.
Right.
You
tax credits.
A Reagan
exactly.
term. Trickle
right.
down.
It's a trickle down idea. It doesn't work.
It doesn't work. So, you know, the mindset of this administration was, if you provide tax credits to businesses now take that money
right.
and hire folks and create
no,
jobs.
They keep it.
That hasn't happened. So we lost the stimulus dollars. And the tax credits went out at the same time.
Right.
We did not expand. We did not do the Medicaid expansion, which means we didn't get federal dollars. And there are some other things that, you know, sent money out. We can turn the tide on those things. So when you ask about the general fund, we're at $29 billion as far as the general fund. There's more money out there, and there's a whole lot of other things that we can be doing to get those dollars in. Repealing some of those business taxes, or some of those, or some of the ways to do that, you can use that money to fund education, as well as a couple other things. But I know we got to go to a break.
Yeah, we're going to go to a break, and we're going to come right back in 2 minutes with your questions for Representative Harris. And David and I have legal answers too. If you've got legal questions,
they don't care about us.
Yeah,
right?
today they don't.
It's all about
your love is going to him.
Yeah.
215-227-2727. We'll be right back.
For 20 years, Center City Medical Center has provided premium expert medical services for Philadelphia. Whether you need musculoskeletal rehab or an immigration physical, call 888-945-EXAM. Our board-certified physicians have more than 80 years' experience, from post-injury rehab to DNA paternity testing. To make an appointment at one of our three convenient locations, call 888-945-EXAM. Get premium expert care. Center City Medical Center, serving Northeast, North, and Center City, Philadelphia.
If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.
Are you in a financial legal squeeze? Unable to work because of an accident with your legal case still not settled? Lawsuit Funding Solutions can help you pay the bills while you wait. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 877-697-7352. It can take time for a lawsuit to settle. Lawsuit Funding Solutions is here to help you get back on track. And you won't owe them a thing if your case doesn't settle or you don't receive a judgment. Get out of the squeeze today. Call 877-697-7352.
If you have legal problems and need answers, call My Philly Lawyer, Dean Weitzman, first at 215-227-2727. For personal injury, medical malpractice, birth injury, and more, call Dean first.
He will fight for your rights. That's what Dean Weitzman is all about.
Call My Philly Lawyer, Dean Weitzman, first. 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
The following is a paid program brought to you by My Philly Lawyer. The views and opinions expressed are those of the sponsor and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station and its management.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning and welcome back to Court Radio. This is Dean Weitzman. Court Radio is your place to answer your legal questions. 215-227-2727. That's the place to call all week long. 215-227-2727. You know, My Philly Lawyer, we focus on motor vehicle accidents, slip and falls, medical malpractice. You know, the normal stuff for bodily injuries, the places where people get hurt. We're there to represent them, to make sure that they're compensated for the injuries that they've sustained. So if you or a loved one has been involved in something in which you've sustained an injury, please feel free to give us a call during the week at 215-227-2727. On weekends, David and I hang out here at Court Radio. We try to give back to the community what we are able to do on Sunday mornings for an hour and answer any questions you have. And we have some really cool guests. And today, we have my friend Jordan Harris, who's a state representative from, what was your legislative district?
186, parts of South and Southwest Philadelphia.
Yeah, parts of South and Southwest Philly, 186.
And good parts.
Yeah, and well, Jordan and I drove around his neighborhood and his area. It was really enlightening and such a beautiful, I know it makes me, in many ways, makes me really want to move back to the city. Like, I'm in the city now, I'm in East Falls, but I mean, like, you know, closer to Center City. I mean, there's just some beautiful houses all around there. And but, you know, we were talking about, like, capturing money from businesses. I know this isn't your bailiwick per se, but, you know, all these tax abatements that they give homeowners in Philadelphia seems stupid to give, like, a rich guy a tax abatement on a $1 million house for 10 years. You know, I mean, like, I got to call it the way I see it. Like, you know, I mean, if I'm going to buy a $1 million house, I can afford to pay the tax on the damn house. Why am I getting a tax abatement when the person next to me in the unfixed up home is paying for me? It makes no sense.
So, listen, I
know this isn't for you, but I mean, you're on a state level and this is a city thing, but, you know, every little bit helps. And making smart decisions is what we're bringing you guys from Bartram High School up to Harrisburg for, making smart decisions.
I agree. So as for I'll do this real quick on the tax abatement. For me, tax abatements are useful to help spur development, to start development in neighborhoods. But for me, once that development has kicked off, we should stop.
Right.
So I totally agree with you. Because I look at my neighborhood and I say to myself, you know, and I look at the schools because property tax, that's what goes to fund schools.
Right, that's what's paying for the kids.
So when you look at some of the neighborhoods that, you know, have definitely taken off, if you can afford a $1 million house, you can afford to pay the taxes on that house
right.
as well. And I don't think certain neighborhoods, there should be a continuation of the abatement program.
Yeah, it's crazy. I am not going to accept an abatement if I buy a house in your neighborhood, okay? I'm just telling you right now, put it out there.
Appreciate
that. I could not sleep at night knowing that I wasn't doing my fair share to support the kids in Philadelphia Public Schools.
We appreciate that.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. I'm not buying a house for me.
Sounds really good.
All right, but if you buy it in Philadelphia County, that's going to help us. So
yeah.
There you go.
All right. 215-227-2727. Let's talk about some other things besides cigarette taxes,
sure.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired of cigarette taxes. BB guns.
Yes.
Are they being sold? I heard that BB guns, guns that look like real guns but shoot BBs, are being sold in corner stores. Yes or no?
To minors.
Yes. So here's what happened. There was a video that went viral on Facebook of kids talking to an adult, and they were telling them, the kids were telling an adult that they just bought the BB guns from a corner store in my district. And there were a couple community folks, Nakia Carr, who's a community activist, and actually one of my staff persons as well, Anton Moore, who runs a group in the district called Union and Community. And another gentleman named Sean, who's an entrepreneur in the district, they got together and we did a rally outside of the corner store. And it's kind of taken off from there because the reality is there was some confusion on where the state law is and where the city ordinance is with regards to BB guns. But in my opinion, from reading the state law, it is clear under Title 18, which is our crime and offense code, Section 6304, it talks directly about the fact that air rifles should not be sold to minors. It is illegal for them to possess them, but it's also illegal for dealers to sell them. if you go further down that section of the crimes code, it actually defines air rifles as BB guns, spring guns, and anything that produces a pellet. So for me, it is clear in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania that BB guns are illegal and are illegal to be sold or possessed to minors. So here's, I sent
what
the letter.
What did the city thing say, the ordinance say?
Well, that's where the confusion was, because right. There's a state law and then there's city ordinances that kind of go further and whatnot. Folks were saying that the city ordinance was confusing. My stance on the state level is that's whatever the city
Trump's
ordinance
it.
Is.
Right, doesn't matter.
The state law.
Trump's, yeah.
You know.
Sure.
And not only that, but the state law also attaches a penalty for those who sell these type of firearms. So I sent a letter to the mayor, attorney general, and others, asking that, we all work together on how we address this issue. Because two things are my biggest fear. One of my biggest fears is that a young person pulls out a BB gun and a police officer thinks it's a real gun.
Yeah.
And that young person is shot.
Yeah, that's going to be horrible.
That'll be horrible. But my second fear is that we will arrest young people for the possession of BB guns, but we're not holding these business owners who are selling them accountable. That can't happen. BB guns, people would think about BB guns. We think about growing up with the plastic. No, they're now putting metal in somebody's BB
right. guns. When you grew up, there were plastic, airsoft. But when I grew up, there was metal. There was, brass little BBs. And, it was every kid's dream to get a BB gun. I mean, so you can't punish the kids. They have a natural affinity for wanting to have one of those. You really need to punish
nuisance.
You need to punish the source on that.
Yeah.
Let's talk to Rob from Doylestown, who's got a question for you. Hey, Rob, welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning, and I enjoy listening to your program each Sunday. So I thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Let me tell you. As a Vietnam veteran, I look at some of the things that have happened, and I happen to be a Democrat voting for Tom Wolf. But let's take the city of Philadelphia, which is run by the Democrats. Tell me why, and I ask this for the rep, all these years, and I think it just got changed, you talk about money not going into school system and other areas of the city. What about the 10-year tax rebate on those big, and I know people of wealth who are living in those condos. Why did they need the incentive of a 10-year deal?
I was just saying that.
For development. They wanted to spur development in the city.
I'm not a supporter of it.
Yeah.
They want to develop. But I think people have a natural, all these baby boomers who are selling their big homes in Montgomery and Bucks County, they want to come into the city. So,
Absolutely.
Make them pay. If they want to be next to the Academy of Music, then they should be paying dollar.
They didn't need that incentive. Most people are of a real means who own those. And again, I know people in the condo. They're of real wealth.
Yeah.
They
got cash.
Anyway.
They got real
fear. But the fear was that to spur development, we got to get people to agree to buy. No, I agree with you. Look, I'm agreeing with you. But I'm just saying that was the fear and the explanation. But as Jordan said just a moment ago, why do you continue it? It should stop, and because now you show that people are buying them. Stop it. Get rid of it because it's not needed anymore.
Right. So let me be clear. There are, in my opinion, there are neighborhoods that do need tax abatements because I have certain sections in my district where there is no development going on.
Right. If you want to move to parts of Southwest Philly,
right.
Okay,
I am in favor of that.
A pioneer
that's
in
different.
An area that is devastated and say, I'm going to be the first one to move into this area and build it back up, that's a different story.
I agree.
But if you're moving into the Academy House, okay, you got
to on the Delaware River.
Right. So I mean, for me, that's the balanced approach. I believe
the other question, and I think it's theoretical what you're talking about when you say what you call it, meaning revivement of the areas.
Yeah.
Why 10 years? Why not 5 years?
You can have that debate back and forth.
But you're looking for money to come into the city.
No, I agree. So here's where I'm at. And
my,
I, here's where I'm at, and I don't even do tax abatements. You know, this is just a personal opinion. You know, I'm clear on the fact that I think tax abatements do help spur development. My perspective is that after a while, there is the need to move those from certain areas into other areas to help development go into other areas. Like I would say in my neighborhood, and parts of my district, particularly the Point Breeze and Graduate Hospital area, there's really no necessity because, you know, development has taken place. It is going on. And if you remove those tax abatements and people were paying, you know,
their fair share,
if the people, nobody's going to want to move out of that neighborhood.
Right. Let's talk to Jenna from West Philly. Hey, Jenna, welcome to Court Radio. Thanks for your call. No, Jenna, gone. Okay, well, then we'll take Nate. Hey, Nate. Nate from Northeast. Oh, Lord. All right. All right.
How come you got rid of my Doylestown buddy there? You just cut him off.
No, well, he got off the phone. He said...
I thought he had more to say.
No, he said that was my last question. And
oh, okay.
Take care. And he said, I love court radio. And he said, I love my Philly lawyer. That's really all I needed to hear.
I didn't hear any. I heard none of that.
Ray from North Philly. Hey, Ray, welcome to Court Radio.
Oh, you guys are funny today. You're hitting all my topics today. We don't have to talk about the tax, but I'm going to tell you, in 1974, I was picked up for purchasing a BB gun from a guy in South Philadelphia that I work with. And one of the friends, when I got home, wanted to see it before I got it to the house. And that BB gun looked so big, it looked like it came out of World War II.
Wow.
And just like you said, three or four cars saw it. Unmarked car saw it, called it in, and had about four or five police cars around me with bullets and rifles.
Wow.
Pointing at me.
Oh,
and
man.
Basically saying, you know, we could have killed you over a BB gun. We just want to hit you upside the head just for having it.
right.
You know, so that they shouldn't have it here. If it's illegal to have, they shouldn't have it here.
Right. For me, it's simple. The law says that you shouldn't be selling them to minors. And stores shouldn't be selling them, and we should enforce that so that they're not selling them.
What if you even use a BB gun? Well, I don't even get it.
When I was a kid, you'd shoot targets.
Right.
Go ahead.
We were building a house in Jersey.
Right.
So I would take it to Jersey and you know, use it for the squirrels or whatnot, or the larger animals that would chase you around out there. You
know? Give them a little spanking with a BB, right? Get out of here.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. God, that's horrible.
You know, walking through the bushes after being in North Philly was different.
All right, thanks for calling Court Rate.
The question I wanted to ask Mr. Harris
is
that I need you to look at the disparity in the school system because, you know, we came through Brown versus the Board of Education and the bus system, but now we're starting our own disparity in the school system where we have Central High School getting what they need, Girls getting what they need, Frankfort getting what they need. But what about Frederick Douglass at 21st and Montgomery, 21st and Norris, 22nd and Burke? And then you have you got the science school getting what they need because they're a magnet school. And Masterman gets what they need. But what about all the other schools that don't get what they need? You have climate managers that regulate behavior in the school system, and the schools that need them can't get them.
Mm-hmm. All right,
that don't need them have two. A climate manager is basically a senior NTA.
We want to answer that question, but we are running out of time. So I just want to say that, you know, I want to thank you for coming on the show today. You're always welcome to come back on. We love you. You've been a hard worker for the Commonwealth.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Secondly, what the caller was saying is, you said that they treat the schools all the same in all the districts, and they need to really give more to certain schools that need it. Question is that, can you look at that on a microscopic level and say, okay, there are three schools in Philadelphia that are worse than all the others, so we want to even give them more than other Philadelphia schools and start to really tighter this down to the school level, to the student level?
Right, so there are ideas floating around in the legislature about how we can do that and how you can have another dollar attached, not necessarily a dollar, but how you can attach more money to students that go to some of those even really low, like that low 15% performance.
How do people
school.
Reach you? How do right. people reach you? How so, do people reach you?
www.pahouse.net/Harris. My email is jharris@pahouse.net. Yes, I do check my own emails. So if you email me, you get a response. But if you email me, please be ready for a response because I will actually.
No sugarcoating. 215-227-2727. If you need me during the week, give me a call. Thanks for listening to Court Radio. We'll see you next Sunday. Thank you, David.
All right.
The preceding was a paid program of MyPhillyLawyer.com.